Chapter 38. The Second War Begins.
He who must not be named returns. In a brief statement Friday night, Minister of Magic Cornelius Fudge confirmed that he who must not be named has returned to this country and is active once more. It is with great regret that I must confirm that the wizard styling himself Lord, well, you know who I mean, is alive and among us again, said Fudge, looking tired and flustered as he addressed reporters. It is with almost equal regret that we report the mass revolt of the Dementors of Azkaban, who have shown themselves averse to continuing in the Ministry's employ. We believe that the Dementors are currently taking direction from Lord Thingy. We urge the magical population to remain vigilant. The Ministry is currently publishing guides to elementary home and personal defense that will be delivered free to all wizarding homes within the coming month. The minister's statement was met with dismay and alarm from the wizarding community, which, as recently as last Wednesday, was receiving ministry assurances that there was no truth whatsoever in these persistent rumors that you know who is operating amongst us once more. Details of the events that led to the ministry turnaround are still hazy, though it is believed that he who must not be named and a select band of followers known as Death Eaters gained entry to the Ministry of Magic itself on Friday evening. Albus Dumbledore, newly reinstated headmaster of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, reinstated member of the International Confederation of Wizards, and reinstated chief warlock of the Wizengamot, was unavailable for comment last night. He has insisted for a year that you-know-who was not dead, as was widely hoped and believed, but recruiting followers once more for a fresh attempt to seize power. Meanwhile, the boy who lived... "There you are, Harry. I knew they'd drag you into it somehow," said Hermione, looking over the top of the paper at him. They were in the hospital wing. Harry was sitting on the end of Ron's bed, and they were both listening to Hermione read the front page of the Sunday Prophet. Ginny, whose ankle had been mended in a trice by Madame Pomfrey, was curled up at the foot of Hermione's bed. Neville, whose nose had likewise been returned to its normal size and shape, was in a chair between the two beds. And Luna, who had dropped in to visit, clutching the latest edition of the Quibbler, was reading the magazine upside down and apparently not taking in a word Hermione was saying.
"He's the boy who lived again now, though, isn't he?" said Ron darkly. "Not such a show-off maniac anymore, eh?"
He helped himself to a handful of chocolate frogs from the immense pile on his bedside cabinet, threw a few to Harry, Ginny and Neville, and ripped off the wrapper of his own with his teeth. There were still deep welts on his forearms where the brain's tentacles had wrapped around him. According to Madame Pomfrey, thoughts could leave deeper scarring than almost anything else. Though since she had started applying copious amounts of Dr. Ubley's oblivious unction, there seemed to be some improvement.
"Yes, they're very complimentary about you now, Harry," said Hermione, now scanning down the article. "A lone voice of truth, perceived as unbalanced, yet never wavered in his story, forced to bear ridicule and slander."
Said Hermione, frowning.
"I notice they don't mention the fact that it was them doing all the ridiculing and slandering, though."
She winced slightly and put a hand to her ribs. The curse Dolohov had used on her, though less effective than it would have been had he been able to say the incantation aloud, had nevertheless caused, in Madame Pomfrey's words, quite enough damage to be going on with. Hermione was having to take 10 different types of potion every day, and although she was improving greatly, was already bored with the hospital wing.